Well, welcome to a special edition of the Saints Hour. It is the Sugar Bowl, the All-State Sugar Bowl. We're talking the Super Bowl. What a great time for New Orleans, for Louisiana. What a great way to kick off 2025 with me. Jeff Hundley, the Chief Executive Officer of the All-State Sugar Bowl, the 91st year. This is the eve, right? So you and I have the unique ability to walk down the concourse and talk to each other. Field looks beautiful. Georgia Notre Dame just pops. The game tomorrow night, so exciting. Weather's going to be nice. Now, for us, it'll be cool. For them, not so much. But, man, this has got to be an exciting time. I mean, always butterflies, but exciting.
Very much, Mike. We're thrilled. Going in, there was a lot of unknown with this being the first year of the expanded playoff, how things would fall. But really to get what amounts to a dream matchup between Notre Dame and Georgia is just spectacular. Two brand name programs, two that have been historically significant, who are currently significant programs with both with young, coaches that have proven themselves already, great fan bases. You know, we got to go to the first round game with Notre Dame and Indiana. What a special atmosphere. Their fans are excited to come. And Georgia, having worked at Georgia myself years ago, I know there's a special appreciation for Notre Dame and playing them. Georgia won their first national championship game right here in the Sugar Bowl in 1980 with Herschel Walker and company in that game. So their fan base is excited as well. So it's really shaping up to be a special, special game, and we're looking forward to what the future has to hold for us as part of the playoff.
And so that is kind of part of it, in that you have these storied franchises who both have special memories. Notre Dame beat Alabama here in 73 that some consider, one of the greatest football games ever, 24-23. We don't like to go back to 81 and 73. There's Jerome Bettis. There's some other special times. But you're right. It's the relevance of these two franchises, and they appreciate what the Sugar Bowl is.
Yeah, it's neat. I would say Georgia and a couple other programs in the SEC have a real deep appreciation for the Sugar Bowl in the city of New Orleans. And, Coach Smart said as much at the media day and again at his press conference today that how special it is coming to the Sugar Bowl. And he'd been both with Georgia and at Alabama when he was coaching with Nick Saban there, so he knows what it's all about. Marcus Freeman played in the Sugar Bowl, when he was at Ohio State, and has, great memories here. And they're excited, which gets us excited. The fans are out. We've had great weather this week. It's really spectacular. The parade's rolling and a lot of big crowds for that. So, really exciting time, for the Sugar Bowl and the city.
I apologize. I didn't realize when things had changed. When you and I talked last week, where it's much different for the teams who come now than they used to come. We would do the interviews when they landed on the tarmac, and they'd have a week in New Orleans. It's different now. That's more of a business trip, and they stay pretty much to themselves in their hotels.
That's been one of the rubs that if we were drawing it up as a bowl organization, we'd do it differently, and we'd let them come in longer. But certainly understand, with the multiple rounds of the playoff right now, that it's just not practical or cost efficient for them to, schools to travel. They want the players focused, So what we've done is, yes, we're kind of confined to the hotel, but we've brought New Orleans culture into the hotel, and the guys are having a great time the first two nights here. We were able to do some special events with street performers and great food and music and break dance offs and all sorts of things, where they're having a good time while they're here, and that makes it fun for us who are organizing.
And we'll be back with All-State Sugar Bowl Chief Executive Officer Jeff Hundley on this special edition of the Saints Hour here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are talking with All-State Sugar Bowl Chief Executive Officer Jeff Hundley about what the future looks like for this annual event. You are looking at what would be a new six-year deal that would keep this Sugar Bowl in at least a quarterfinal round, because the landscape. I mean, who knows what a quarterfinal round looks like in four or five years, but that would be hugely important, and that wouldn't start till 27, correct?
You know, we've spent, Mike, better part of the last 3 years lobbying and working to make sure that we have a spot in the future playoff. You know, we think, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic that the Sugar Bowl will have a spot when all is said and done, likely to be three quarterfinals and three semifinal games in a six-year period. But nothing's done till it's done, and you know, people are probably tired of hearing it from me, but we need the community support, because it's not a granted that we're going to get the game, you know, going forward. It's, you know, while we, I think the experience here in New Orleans in the Sugar Bowl is second to none, the bottom line is the bottom line. It's a financial decision that the conference commissioners and the playoff people are making right now. And we've got to be able to compete financially. And, you know, we've had some good success. You know, when that new system starts, we're going to have 5,000 more tickets that we have to sell because the schools are backing down on their commitments. And so we're going to need to sell those in order to be able to pay the piper at the end of the day, which is going to require local and regional support.
Unfortunately, though, that's not really been the problem, right? I mean, you've been able to sell. It's not sellouts. It's just the cost to put on the game puts you in a negative situation. And so the nostalgia, the six nostalgia bowls, as we know, are up against cities, just cities, who have money, who want to get in the game. And so that's what I think the message needs to hit to Shreveport and everywhere across this state, east, west, north, and south, that this is it's a different ball game now. It's not like it was before. I know other cities are kind of creating separate funds because that's what it's going to take. I mean, they need to understand that this is not what it used to be and that there's going to be new money needed in the future.
Definitely, and there's a lot at stake with that, Mike. You know, the Sugar Bowl averages about a $200 million economic impact every time we come to town, every time we have the game. You know, that's $20 million plus in direct tax revenue to the city and state. So we feel like what we're doing is positive. It's a good investment. And if people want to join arms with us and help us, you know, it's a good return on your investment, and it's basically a televised infomercial when ESPN airs it every year, because they're showing the best that the city and the state have to offer. So there's a lot of reasons to want to do it, but we can't just sit on our hands and think because we've done it for 90 years that we're automatically grandfathered in, because there are cities, Nashville, Austin, you know, Las Vegas, new stadiums being built.
Teams without bowls, teams that don't really have, you know, that have not been a part of the bowl system, so to speak. It's not about bowls anymore.
But they've got the money to pay to bring it. And, you know, chances are, you know, Las Vegas is going to be one of the next stops for the college football playoff national championship game, which we're in the process of trying to lure in. You know, we're talking to the CFP about a possible 2028 national championship game. But even with that, we hosted in 2020, and the costs have doubled since 2020, or the requirements have doubled since 2020, which is a big fundraising effort and that we have to take on. We're going to do it. We're competitive, and we think it's in the organization's and the city's best interest that we stay in that hunt and to bring that national championship here, because it helps us as we try to get the annual game in place.
The game tonight to start the quarterfinals, and then you are it. You are the finale of January 1st, 7:45. I mean, that is, you own the market, and that is exactly what you're talking about. You know, when you talk about ESPN and the viewership and global and everything, this is exactly, everybody would want that, the finale on New Year's Day.
Absolutely. The viewership numbers, they bear themselves out. A regular non-playoff Sugar Bowl game averages 10, 11 million viewers. We're going to have 22 to 25 million tuned into this game on New Year's night. You know, it's going to be spectacular, but you double the audience, a lot of people seeing it. As I said previously, it's an infomercial for the city and state, so hopefully that sparks future tourism as well. So it's all a very positive thing, and we've got to do everything we can to make sure it keeps coming.
But it's kind of the challenging case because the first lands on a Wednesday. You're like, well, do I take off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Do I take off the whole week? And it, you know, after next year, but the Wednesday New Year's is tough.
Yeah, it is a little bit. You know, our weather or our calendar committee didn't do a great job, but we're hopefully we, you know, we'll roll with it and it'll get better in the future. And, you know, the dates will change, you know, if we're involved going forward on the semifinal, it'll push us deeper into January. But again, the stakes will be higher and it'll be a marquee matchup no matter who it is at that time. So we think it's still very positive.
We grabbed a piece of paper off this desk and I said, write down the college football landscape for me in 5 years. And then we sealed that envelope. When you opened it up 5 years from now, would you have any thought that you might even be close? Or is it that just, it's so rapidly changing?
The change, Mike, is just unbelievable. There's been, in the last 3 years, there's been more change than in my lifetime. You know, it's just amazing what's going on right now. You know, hopefully it stabilizes a little bit, but this whole era of name, image, and likeness payments for players, which we don't begrudge the players at all. They deserve a share of the revenue that the game is generating because they're the ones who are on the field and putting their blood, sweat, and tears into the effort. But there's got to be some parameters around it. Right now, it's just running rampant. There are no parameters. You know, even in the NFL, they've got salary caps and what have you. And, you know, I think if we get towards something, if college football can get more towards something like what the NFL has in terms of, you know, where it's, you know, there's a cap or something, what have you, something where we can get our arms around it, it'll help.
There's so much work that goes into this, and your whole office and your whole team and the committee. Tomorrow night at 7:45, do you ever just get to kind of look at Georgia and Notre Dame and kind of be a football fan again, or is it really you never?
No, absolutely. Every year, you know, the tail end of the year, November and December, is just a grind. It's a ton of hours. It's fast paced. There's a lot of moving parts, and it's stressful, to be honest. But you get to game night, and I always make sure I'm on the field right before the game is getting ready to start, and they start playing the hype videos for the two schools, and all of a sudden, you know, the crowds, and then the bands come out, and you know, I've been doing this 31 years and I still get goosebumps right before kickoff every time. And then you say, yeah, this is why I do this.
Good luck to you. It's been a lot of work and we appreciate it. When people see it for the first time on television or in person, it will just pop like it does. And that's beautiful.
A couple years ago, we hosted Florida State and LSU for a kickoff game.
Yeah.
And I was on the field in the pregame with Greg Sankey, who's the commissioner of the SEC, and Herb Vincent, who works at the SEC and is going into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, I think, this summer. And we were talking, and Herb says, that's what I love about the Superdome. Every time you set foot in here, it feels like a championship environment. And it does. It's just a special place and something that we're proud to be a part of.
From sugar to super, we'll bring in Jay Cicero of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation to talk about what the next month will be for the region as it prepares for Super Bowl 59. This is a special edition talking college football and the Super Bowl here of the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back, everyone, to this special edition of the Saints Hour. We're talking college football. We're talking the Super Bowl. And with us now, Jay Cicero, President and CEO of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation. And I know you have a time clock somewhere that counts it down. We do as well. And at the time of this airing, it'll be under 40 days, right? Under 40 days. I don't know. That feels, you know, biblical one, but, you know, a lot, you know, what does it mean to be under 40 days?
It just means that the pace continues to pick up dramatically now that the holidays are over with, and that, you know, things that are we've been planning and talking about doing for years, and especially over the past eight to 10 months, are now coming to fruition. And it's time to button up all the loose ends and execute.
That's
so
kind of where
it takes a lot.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's like. Is it more of a punch list, kind of we've got this to do, or we've got our plan in place, and now it's really about the NFL will kind of be here full-time, moving in, taking over the building and the city January 6th, and kind of marrying the plans together, or is it like a punch list?
It's a little bit of both. The things that are completely in the host committee's control, you know, like the ambassador program that Chevron is sponsoring for us, and the community programs like Impact 59 that is powered by Entergy, and a few of the other programs that we're doing. Those are moving on schedule. It's the events and or items that we have to rely on outside folks to take care of, or answers where we have to really button up all of that. So there's a lot of collaboration, as you can imagine, not only between Superdome, the Saints, the Sports Foundation, all the venues, the city, the state, sponsors, etc. There's so much collaboration, so many things going on that we have to turn off the, hey, we've got this great idea. Let's see what we can do to, wait a minute, we've got 100 good ideas that we have been working on for months, and now we need to execute them.
So I want to focus a little bit just kind of on the city and the region and people of the state, because it's such a huge event. And what there are a lot of things that people can take part in. I think people are pretty well versed on the Super Bowl experience. That'll be at the Morial Convention Center. I want to talk specifically, and we'll talk, about any of these items, but to me, opening night, if people have watched Media Day for years and go, ah, that'd be kind of interesting, right? It's just gaggle of media down on the field. But now fans have an opportunity. It's more of an event. It's Monday night, 5 to 10, $20. And so fans can kind of come and be a part of what they've watched on TV for decades.
It's the, the Saints fan or NFL fans, obvious only exposure to the team, both teams and the coaches, and they'll also be able to walk through the Superdome and see the decor package that has been installed. So, to me, as a huge Saints fan and a huge love for the game and facilities, I love all that. I think it's fascinating. So I think that most Saints fans would be fascinated by being able to see up close. Now, from the stands to the sidelines, basically, not in between the stands and the sidelines, but as the sidelines are, they'll be able to see these players and coaches and hear and see some of the interviews that are going on. So it's pretty neat, and it's nice to see. I went to it last year for the first time since we had it in 2013. It's completely changed. It was nice to see the reaction of the players and the coaches as they come onto the field and see the dome floor for the first time.
As far as the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation is concerned, I mean, it's almost one of these things. I mean, you got to strike while the iron is hot. Right now, there's a lot of focus on New Orleans. Man, it was a big deal, and it probably does not get the play it deserves. And that's the U.S. Gymnastics Championship that comes with a National Congress trade show at August 7th through the 10th of 2025. Not the easiest dates to sell in New Orleans. And so it's an indoor event, all good at the Smoothie King Center. But it's when you're hot, right? You gotta score things like that, and it's 4 days in August that are huge.
They are, and it's national and international travelers that will come in for that event. I mean, it's in the non-Olympic year. It's the Olympic team in a non-Olympic year, and so this is the highest of high of the talent that the United States has for gymnastics. And what's funny thing is and you probably know this, that we hosted this event. It'll be 30 years ago next year. Next summer, around the same time that we hosted this event, our offices were in the Superdome at the time, where the Sun Belt offices are. And Doug Thornton was our CEO of the Sports Foundation at the time, and we had a great time. Now, there's a floor of the Superdome. The arena was not even a thought
Right,
back
2009.
then in 95. And so to be able to have this event back, now in the arena, in the Smoothie King Center, and to be able to see the excitement in the leadership of USA Gymnastics was really cool to see during our press conference a couple months ago. So we're excited about that, and to be able to get in the rhythm back with USA Gymnastics and some of the other national governing bodies is what our goal is, and this is a great start.
And this plays along with it because we've talked about this before. To get these events and the WrestleManias and the Super Bowls and the gymnastics and all this stuff takes time and money, and your calendar goes way out. And it goes back to striking when the iron is hot as far as funding is concerned, donations, state funding. I mean, it just puts you up to the top of that queue from a relevant standpoint, and you get the pulpit to explain to people this stuff doesn't just happen. It's money.
These events have become much more expensive, but the value of them for the most part has risen also. So the media exposure value, just the pride of having an event like the U.S. Gymnastics National Championships, is huge. Now, none of the gymnastics events that we've done would be possible without LSU being so incredible with their gymnastics program. So you owe a lot to DeeDee Brough and the groundwork that she laid, and Jay Clark now taking it to an all new level. But what they've done at LSU has allowed us and other cities around the state of Louisiana to grow the events around gymnastics events. And you never think that economic impact could be created or economic development could be created around a non-Olympic, I mean, an Olympic sport. But, in this case, it really has. We would never have taken the chance on having that event back if we didn't think we could sell enough tickets to make it work financially. And that, along with the funding from the state of Louisiana, is really the way that we put together the deal to attract them back to New Orleans.
Well, let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. When we come back, we'll have more with President and CEO of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, Jay Cicero, as we continue a special edition of the Saints Hour here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are talking with Jay Cicero, the President and CEO of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation. And it's bowl season, and you got the Sugar Bowl, All-State Sugar Bowl tomorrow. I mean, the college landscape will look different 5 days from now. Who can pick 5 years from now? And you see the impact that the college playoffs are having. How much concern is there for the bowls that are not in that college football realm?
I think there's a significant amount of concern. I mean, I'm reading the articles about the Sugar Bowl also. They are one of the playoffs every year, and they're concerned. The ability to continue to be competitive for the bowl games, Arnell Carrier's New Orleans Bowl, which is no longer Arnell Carrier's, by the way. This was their last year. After 19 years, that's a good long run with a family-owned company. And of course, the Sugar Bowl is an icon as far as the bowl system is concerned. So I think everybody's concerned, and they're concerned about finances, they're concerned about their meaning in the community, and the ability to do what we all do for as long as we've been around. Is why that we, the Sports Foundation, speak about remaining competitive as a major focus of the organization.
Without telling me what you can from the New Orleans Bowl, is it about trying to find a new sponsor or trying to get into that playoff?
I don't, if there's an opportunity to get into the playoff, we certainly would, but we
Right.
don't think that that's available at this point in time. But yeah, we're trying to find a new title sponsor. And the fact that this happened now was actually a little bit of something that was positive, because we had been talking to so many other sponsors about Super Bowl. Super Bowl opens up and supporting the Super Bowl host committee, and Super Bowl opens up a lot of doors that may not be able to be opened up. And for these companies to be exposed to what the New Orleans Bowl is and the benefits of it, and a relative affordability of it compared to other events and other bowls should be enticing. A lot of exposure associated with ESPN. So, is it a hard sell? It could be, but the fact that we're talking to so many other groups right now and have been and have signed on so many other sponsors for Super Bowl really is a benefit.
What are the top couple of things on your board that either has your focus, so to speak?
Well, narrowing down our final fundraising, which we've been doing for a couple months now, so we're pretty close. Keeping the expenses in line is obviously very important, also because we have to, stay on budget. Making sure that I think a big general 30,000 foot focus is trying to make sure that folks who attend the Super Bowl, and that's locals as well as people attending from for the fans of the two teams or to just travel with the Super Bowl every year, that they have a great time. That we've set up the ability for them to have an incredible time here in New Orleans. The second thing is our Super Bowl host committee parade. Something that we've never done, at least in the past three Super Bowls that we've been at the Sports Foundation has served as the host committee staff for. But this parade's going to be special, and it's a free option for fans who are coming to the city. There's a lot of events that are going to be happening that are going to be very expensive to get in, especially if people have game tickets. Game tickets are expensive. But to be able to come and enjoy the French Quarter, to obviously enjoy our restaurants and music. Some of the restaurants aren't free, but to be able to come and get a taste of a authentic Mardi Gras parade that is sponsored floats, that NFL sponsored floats, and Todd Graves being the king of the parade, he's a social media magnet in itself, and he's inviting a lot of celebrities to ride with him on his float. So it's going to be a pretty special event that maybe hasn't been seen here in New Orleans, except with obviously the larger parades that are here annually. And most of those people are wearing masks. You can't tell who's on the floats. You can
Right. Well,
easily tell who's on the
what
floats
for
either.
fans, listening, what are the specifics for the host committee parade?
It starts at 10 a.m. Saturday morning, February 8th. The parade itself starts at on the end of Decatur Street in Elysian Fields, goes down up or down or up Decatur, I guess up Decatur, if you're going up the river, up Decatur, takes a right on Poydras, and takes a left on St. Charles and ends in the Warehouse District down by St. Joseph. And so it's a shorter parade, much like the Christmas parade, maybe a bit longer than that, and like the Sugar Bowl parade, a little bit longer than that. But it is so special, and everybody is so excited about it that I think it's been a little bit of a surprise of how people are excited about it. So we need fans, our locals, to come down and enjoy this. It takes a long time to get these types of programs together and planned, and you don't know if they're going to happen until the fundraising is in place, until all the pieces fit together, and you get to go from every angle. And so there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes that people aren't aware of, but hopefully we'll deliver something that people will think is very special.
We always do. And I know we will. Again, all the hard work from your group, and everybody, New Orleans and Company, Mark Romig, and just everybody. So happy New Year. And I'm we'll be talking very, very soon and every day for a month. So I look forward to it, and congratulations.
Thank you, Mike. Happy New Year to you.
To get all of the Super Bowl week information and activities, just download the NFL OnePass app, and it is all there, whether you have a ticket to the game or not. And there are plenty of things for locals to take part in. We'll continue our Super Bowl prep with Mary Beth Romig, Senior Vice President of Communications and Public Relations at New Orleans & Company. This is the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to a special edition of the Saints Hour. We are talking Super Bowl. We're talking the Allstate Sugar Bowl tomorrow as we kick off 2025. Mary Beth Romig, Senior Vice President of Communications and Public Relations for New Orleans & Company. Man, she's been a spotter for her dad and her brother in the booth for Saints games for 30 plus years. She and I have a long history together and good friends. And man, this is just an exciting time, right? I mean, you know, very few cities get to be the heartbeat of football, like a Sugar Bowl, the 91st annual, and then a Super Bowl a month later. It's a really special time.
It really is. You know, I've been spotting for 33 years, as you mentioned, and I have to say, if you're going to have a rough year, kind of like we had this year with the New Orleans Saints, then to be able to roll football into what we're about to host and face and show our best side kind of makes it okay.
Yeah, it does, you know, because we always knew, even during the 7-game streak, that we were still going to host the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. So
in the end, it was going to be, you know, the prize. But yeah, it's been challenging. But hey, Pelicans and Saints will bounce their way back. That much we know. Your role and Mark's role, really, because it's not like the work's done, but January 6th, the NFL kind of moves in and they start to kind of roll things. What does the month of January, kind of 6th through that February 3rd opening night, look like for New Orleans & Company and all that you're doing for the host committee?
Well, hey, Mike, do you mind if we take it back a little bit before
Sure.
we talk about the future? So it really began in earnest when we kicked off back in February and March or so that the game was coming to New Orleans, because all of a sudden there's tremendous media attention on New Orleans being the host city and what we're doing to prepare. And it's both reactive and proactive for New Orleans & Company. So I'm in the PR department. I deal with media 24/7 all year long. And when they call and they want to know what's going on in New Orleans, these two events, Sugar Bowl, Super Bowl, are high on our list, as was Taylor Swift, as were conventions and such. But really, all eyes are on the Super Bowl. So we've been answering these questions about what New Orleans is doing. We've been talking about how we are so perfectly built to host Super Bowl for the 11th time, and really upselling New Orleans as being ready to go, and why we are the best city and why a lot of people in the media think we are the best city. And that includes something that you were a part of. We brought in 24 journalists from around the world, about half from domestically from the United States, half from Australia, England, Ireland, and Germany, back in November for the Atlanta game weekend, to show why we're getting ready and how we're getting ready to host Super Bowl. It's already netted tremendous coverage in Australia, the UK, Forbes, great articles talking about how New Orleans is perfectly suited to host. And now we roll into January. It's just going to be incredible. We just welcomed a site visit from Sky Sports from the UK. They're going to be here the entire week before Super Bowl, showcasing New Orleans to all of the UK as to things beyond Super Bowl. So it's not just going to be about the game. It's going to be showing our food, music, history, architecture, and why New Orleans is a great destination. So that's so important for us. And then for Sugar Bowl, we have the Paul Feinbaum show in right now, airing live from New Orleans. We have all these networks coming in and ESPN showcasing New Orleans constantly today and tomorrow ahead of the Sugar Bowl. We're just getting so many hits on national television. And then when all eyes are on the Sugar Bowl tomorrow night, they'll be showing those cutaways of the city, the beauty shots, how great the Superdome, the Caesars Superdome looks, the beautiful Crescent City Connection lit up. It all just sells New Orleans constantly, all the time. We can't put a dollar figure on it.
No, you're right. And that you led me perfectly into where I was going to go with the event was called the Fam Trip event back in November.
Yeah.
And I think it would be easy to assume that, hey, you get the Super Bowl, sit back, it just comes, the money flows. And that trip to me was kind of eye-opening in that you can't just sit back and hope they'll come for the game. This was an event to get media in November, to write stories in November and December. They're still coming, yep, you know, for this game. A yep, brilliant idea. But I mean, I think my point really was, it doesn't just, they don't just come. You gotta go fishing. You gotta bring them, and they come and they get this amazing event. We change coaches right that week. They get a win. They get the Atlanta game. They get a taste of what that is all about. It was, man, it was just an amazing weekend. But I think it does kind of spell that things don't just happen.
And these aren't small outlets. We had the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the Chicago Tribune, Forbes, like I mentioned, Sky Sports from the UK. The Today Show from Australia has given us such tremendous coverage from that weekend. You gave a kick-butt tour of the Dome, starting with the individual journalists' headshots being shown on the big screen when they were on the field of the Superdome. They were in awe. And we showed them the best of New Orleans, including a victory. And they met Mrs. Benson, so, and heard from her why New Orleans is such a great place to live, work, visit. And we hit on a lot of cylinders, but you're right. I don't want to pat ourselves on the back. It was a lot of work to bring all these folks in town and coordinate a very packed but eventful itinerary for each of them, including down to individual times when they were free. We set them up with different things to do. It's a lot of work. It's what we do all year round, not just around Super Bowl and Sugar Bowl and Taylor Swift. It's what we do because it's our mission to market New Orleans as a great place to live, work, and play. But that was worth every minute of all the work, and we'll just keep rolling through February. We're fired up about it. It's great.
And you mentioned Mrs. Benson, and certainly, you know, this game isn't here without the Saints and their impact, and so much stuff that will happen, you know, in really the 2 weeks prior to the game, parks and rec and charity work and all kinds of Habitat for Humanity builds. I mean, there's just yep, so much stuff that happens because of the Saints organization.
Absolutely. The Saints are an outstanding partner, not just for Super Bowl, but for so much of what New Orleans and Company does. And she is, I can't even imagine how to describe her as an ambassador for the city of New Orleans and the lovely grace that she brings in representing the city on so many levels. But you're right, with Super Bowl, it's year round. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, they planted trees. They're giving so much to the school community in feeding children and food programs. And there's a lot that is done because we're the host city that people don't even understand or recognize. They think it's just about the game. It's so much more than just the game. And we're going to do our part in making sure that we tell the New Orleans story the best way that we can. And we're just honored to be a part of the Super Bowl host committee. And my brother Mark is chair of the PR and branding committee, but our CEO, Walt, is a big part of the hotel committee. There's a lot of people, a lot of committees, a lot of committed people who are volunteering their time to be a part of this effort. And let's not overlook the Sugar Bowl too. Right. New Orleans and Company is a sponsor of the Sugar Bowl. What a great game we're going to have. Georgia, Notre Dame. God, I'm looking out my window while I'm talking to you at the weather. I mean, it couldn't be more picture perfect presentation of New Orleans tomorrow night on ESPN.
And so I also like, and this is comes from, I think, really letting people know, and it started with the PR committee trying to bring in people from all across the state, getting input from across the state, because it'll look like a New Orleans event, and that's what we don't want it to look like. We want people from Alexandria and Baton Rouge to come in. And so there are events. And I think, you know, that people need to understand the opening night, the Super Bowl experience, Taste of the NFL, the Louisiana Cultural Festival, the host committee parade. There are a number of things to do in this city the week of the game if you don't have a ticket. Don't feel like you're being left out.
Well, that underscores a really important message for us. First of all, to have a Super Bowl parade, no other city in America that hosts Super Bowls can say they're going to have a Super Bowl parade. I mean, we're going to show Mardi Gras at its finest in the parade itself. So that's an outstanding opportunity to showcase our state's culture. But you mentioned the Monday night event in the Superdome when the fans come to the media event with the players. The fan festival that's going to take place in the convention center, I have to remind the community, people across the state, if these things are a success, that gives us one more step up to host our 12th Super Bowl. It's the turnout, it's the support from the community that will showcase to the NFL that New Orleans should be considered again and very strongly for future Super Bowls. So it really, we're counting on people to come and say, yes, this is our place, this is our city, and welcome to the NFL and the world, and you need to come back again and again.
Right. I totally agree. I'm just so glad there are so many different things that they can take part in, because it you know, very few will have tickets. I mean, it is what it is. But you want them regionally and a state to feel like they're a part. And I think what's going to be interesting, because it's not like January 6th, all of a sudden the Super Bowl's here. It's going to be a build. There's going to be build outs in the French Quarter, build outs in the Superdome, Convention Center. It'll look like, you know, it's kind of interesting to think about this month prior to really even knowing the teams, where a town within a town is kind of built.
Yeah. And speaking of the teams that are going to be in the playoffs, New Orleans and Company is taking two opportunities to showcase us as the host city and why we're perfectly built to host. We're going to do a satellite media tour the week of January 13th, probably on the 16th. That means that we will have a representative on television in markets all across the country. We're going to heavily promote the playoff cities to talk about why New Orleans is perfectly suited and ready to host the Super Bowl. That will take place from about 5 a.m. till about noon, in just across the country on morning television opportunities. And then we'll do the same about a week before the game. We have the Dakar chef, Serene, who will then talk about how to throw a Super Bowl party wherever you live in America that is New Orleans themed. Here are some recipes you can cook. Here's some ways you can have king cake at your party. Just talking about New Orleans again as a Super Bowl host city, but based around food. And again, it's just a chance to take advantage of the game being in New Orleans to talk about why New Orleans is such a great place to live, work, and visit.
Thank you, as always. And again, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, friend.
And that's our show for tonight. My thanks to everyone who helped make this show possible tonight, and to Charlie Long, as always, in the booth on this New Year's Eve, the final day of 2024. The Saints will wrap it all up in Tampa on Sunday, and we will see you here next week as an important off-season begins. Happy New Year. Thanks for listening. This is the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.